Right, hello again, everybody. I think I'm coming across there. I think we're live, and I've got I'll just port mute that. I've got Jim, we've got Aria, and we've got Jackson back up. We're going to get into British populism and the absolute state of British populism. How are you doing, everybody?
Doing good, thanks. Good to
All
speak
right,
with
well,
you.
thank you.
Jackson, you
Yeah,
doing
you're
anything?
looking magic, mate.
Right. So, I mean, it's a complete disaster zone. I want to try and be a little bit optimistic about things, but it's not going great, is it? It's not, the edgelords aren't really, they're not really cutting it. And I want them to. I voted UKIP. I want them to, storm the barricades, lead the way of the populist resistance in Britain. But I mean, what do you think? Well, how we didn't get you there's put your cards on the table and let's see what let's get into it.
Well, it depends where you want to start, because if you look at the local elections yesterday, I think UKIP have lost 144 seats, and in the European elections, the polling, they've gone right down to 4% now, which is even lower than other in the polls. So it's just not been going very well for them.
What, right, so how, because we have to be careful here, because UKIP, we've got the Brexit Party, and they're eating into the UKIP vote. So we do have to take that into account, don't we?
Yeah, well, in the local elections, well, it seems like the Conservatives have lost like over 1,000 seats, and most of them, like nearly 700 of them, have gone to Liberal Democrats and Green Party. So there's definitely maybe it's just people not turning out to vote or spoiling their votes or something. That's made people not vote Conservatives, and that's just how the Liberal Democrats and Greens have picked up the party, because there's lots of people trying to spin it as like a Remain backlash, but then most of the people in the European elections are they're waiting to vote for Farage and the Brexit Party in the European elections. So maybe they just gave this one a miss and they're waiting to.
The Brexit Party, they weren't actually running in them things yesterday, were they? The local elections. Or were
No, they weren't running, and neither was this
Cook Party.
the Cuck Party wasn't running either.
And I don't see how that Cook Party can even get off the ground if the Liberal, because that they're just the Liberal Democrats.
Yeah,
Like it's the
well, it's
Liberal
like
Democrats.
they're sort of like a Blairite party in the middle. It's like all the banking establishment candidates from both parties, like both Labour and Conservatives, have just.
It's a grassroots globalist party.
Yeah.
However, Jim and Jackson, jump in here.
Well, I think it's fucking hilarious. I'm sort of torn between a bit of Schadenfreude, seeing how badly they're doing, considering the sort of ridiculous stances they've taken in taking on like Sargon and Dankula and all that. But at the same time, it's quite fucking terrifying to see the smear machine gearing up. And what people have all seemed to have forgotten is Sargon and all that, they've got this massive wave of support behind them. I don't know if it's all him, which is why they've done so poorly, or the fact is they've brought in Tommy Robinson, but this sort of
Well, Tommy Robinson isn't actually running for UKIP, but he's running as an independent in the European elections. They brought it, Bar Jared Batten brought him on as an advisor on
Yeah,
rape
rape
on
gangs.
rape gangs. Yeah.
Yeah, and even that sort of little tie with him has probably done him a fair bit of damage. I mean, I think it was a Telegraph I read that said UKIP are suffering because of a swing to the fucking far right. But yeah, it's part that, and it's part terrifying to see like this is the power that they wield, even with a sort of fairly mainstream party such as UKIP, because before UKIP it was a BNP, and before the BNP it was the National Front.
BNP did the best, but I mean, I've spoken about them quite a bit. I don't really want to drag the BNP into it again, but we can see, like, so like 10 years on, the sort of nationalist populist vote is sort of getting behind Gerald Button, Sargon of Akkad, and Count Dankula, rather than Nick Griffin, Mark Collett, and Andrew Bronze, which says a lot. I mean, people use this meme clown world. When you're like getting behind Sargon of Akkad and Count Dankula, the Nazi pug guy, that's that to me. And I know they're trying to do the right thing, you know. I'm not against them, but
it's
the times. What's that?
I think it's thoroughly depressing that there's now no sort of decent party or party with any respectable support to the right of the Conservatives. We're now the only country in Europe that hasn't got a right-ish populist party. I was thinking about why that is, and I think it might be someone in the British character, you know, being so obsessed with social status. So when the media marks out a particular party as being low status and low class, then the masses sort of retreat from being seen to support it.
Well, I suppose we'll have to see how that plays out in the European elections. But it doesn't help because the Brexit Party seems to be deliberately putting away like a deliberate blockade to stop anything really getting off the ground with UKIP. I mean, it is suspicious, and there's all this stuff with the votes being split and everything like that. You know, you can say like, well, UKIP and they're all controlled themselves, and Sargon's not even a sort of white nationalist or whatever. But you can tell that it's not that. It's that everybody has to be their guy, even if you're not. You know, even if you don't want to be sort of full blown white nationalist and you're just a classic liberal individualist, if you're not their guy, they're going to turn on you. And I think we have to take that into account.
I think what's going on with the Brexit Party is that they're terrified of us. Well, the Conservative Party seems to be on the brink of falling apart. And if May tries to steer some, you know, middle-of-the-road Brexit towards a customs union or something, then the Conservative Party might completely fracture. So I think they're terrified of an alternative on the right. The Brexit Party isn't a real political party. It hasn't got branches. It hasn't got members. It hasn't got all the structure of a political party. So that's just a safe repository for protest votes. It can't go anywhere else. So I think they're trying to steer people towards Brexit as a relatively harmless option, or the Brexit Party as a relatively harmless option. Because if you vote for them, nothing's going to happen in the next 5-10 years or whatever from that. Whereas if another party grows up to the right of the Conservatives, they could cause mayhem in the years to come.
I mean, the thing, let's just say we end up with a Farage, because they will all go into the European Parliament. And then, I mean, and they're around like 28%. So let's just assume that there's this huge sort of swarm of Brexit MPs then move into the European Parliament, that they're going to team up with all of the other ones from Europe and then just hollow out the European Union from inside. And I like that. I like that to just see this chaos play out. But at the end of the day, we do have more problems than Brexit. And one of them's mass immigration, just the basic numbers game, the basic demographic crisis facing white people in this country. And the closest we have to somebody addressing that in this country is UKIP, which is why I want to get behind them a bit.
In fact, Farage's policy is he wants to make the UK more global, and we can get in more non-European immigrants.
Yeah, I do agree. I think it's completely depressing the way UKIP are bombing. I don't know what can be done about it, because it took UKIP from the mid-90s or whatever, it took them 20-odd years to get from there to even being recognised. If they fall apart now, how long is it going to take for something else to arise?
See, what I'm trying to sort of pinpoint is UKIP was always that slightly right to conservative party. I mean, you remember the massive outcry of Farage being in front of the photo. It was like a billboard of all of the African migrants coming in. And then all of a sudden he's gone from this position of being like fairly plainly spoken on Islam to absolutely cucking.
What? How much did Farage actually talk about Islam before?
I found Farage's criticism of Tommy Robinson very odd, because whenever there's some sort of Islamic terror attack, Farage will be the first one that's on Fox News, non-Tucker Carlson. And he says the exact same sort of things that Tommy Robinson would say. As far as I can see, there's no difference whatsoever between them.
Yeah.
I think he just thinks that Tommy Robinson is like a bit rough and a bit common, but I can't see any ideological difference between them.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually an interesting thing, that, because you could say that Farage used to be sort of Douglas Murray, Mark Stein, counter-jihad tier in his approach to Islam. But I think what's happened is that he's seen that it's become a toxic issue and it'll get in the way of Brexit. So he doesn't want to be associated with that. You know, Nigel Farage is like Captain Ahab off Moby Dick, where he's just completely obsessed with Brexit and everything else can go to hell. You know, like, so they brought Tommy Robinson on to be an advisor of grooming gangs. You know, and we all know Tommy's a shill, all right, whatever. But how can you then, what, are we going to then just shelve our whole grooming gang issue because of Brexit? And this is all that matters to Farage, and it pisses me off. Even, you know, like Count Dankula goes on about the free speech issue. Nobody knows what to say. Everybody's getting locked up for fucking tweets in this country. The free speech, the hate, we need rid of these hate speech laws. Nothing. That, to me, is more important than Brexit. Because even if we still end up in the European Union, it just means that we've got, you know, 17 million pissed off people in this country, and we can team up with the Europeans and attack the European. We'll fight in the shade and do it in from inside the European Union. But the issues in this country need to be addressed really quickly. And that's why I'm behind somebody like Sargon. I like it that he's sitting there and saying these things. And I don't like this game that Farage is playing at all, to be honest.
Well, if you watch the stream that Mark Collett did the other day.
Brexit, you know, it's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. But I think we need a force to the right going forward. I think we need someone to the right of the Conservative Party to keep them honest. That's, you know, what UKIP did usefully up until we got Brexit, and then they've sort of fallen away. There's now no one to stop the Conservative Party drifting even more to the centre.
I was going to say, if you watch Mark Collett's video on it the other day, it sounds like Farage isn't even really all that committed to Brexit. He, like, the most important
thing is everyone's
his own ego and his own star power. Hello?
All right, Aria, it comes from
all right. One big reason why he's split off this Brexit party is because he has like a personal rivalry with Gerard Batten as well, like going back for years.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? And you can see that there's this like a distinct split as well. So UKIP are mainly heading for the north, which we've got more problems with Islam, the Muslims, and all of that. And then Farage is like sort of the Shias in the south. That's my impression of it. And I've actually even seen Sargon and some of them saying it's all about the north. We're going to specifically target the north.
I think if UKIP had stayed together, it could be a really potent force. If you could combine the Nigel Farage, you know, home counties, golf club Tories, with the disaffected Northerners, with your internet libertarians, combined, that's quite a powerful constituency. I think it's a real shame that it's split.
Well, isn't it weird that it has been split for that's I'm trying to wrap my head around why that's happened. Is it justified for Brexit? Because it comes down to it just being about Brexit. Nigel Farage, that the general path that they've been on for a while. So Anne-Marie Waters has a falling out with UKIP because she was too sort of hardcore on Islam, and then so she went out. So then the votes were split once because she went off and formed For Britain, and then it got split again because Farage went off and did the Brexit Party. But I mean, why? But then UKIP itself moved sort of into an edgier anti-Islam, anti-mass immigration and political correctness zone. So why doesn't Anne-Marie Waters just merge her party back with UKIP? At least got the slicing and dicing of the fucking vote.
Well, I think with her case as well, it's like she made a huge deal out of splitting off from UKIP and trying to...
But even in terms of this so-called UKIP drift to the right, I don't think they really moved that much. They were always of anti-immigration. They always had concerns about radical Islam, not normal Islam, they'll say, but just radical Islam. But I don't think UKIP have moved. I think this Farage has edged away from them for some reason. And I say I'm highly suspicious of this Brexit party as being a repository for protest votes, but they'll make no difference.
So what can we expect going into the European elections? The Brexit party is going to crush UKIP, aren't they?
I think they're biding their time. I think they're being I think they've been sensible, not blowing their load on the local elections. I think they're going to try and swoop in on the sort of recent embarrassment of UKIP and jump in and try and get the sort of MEP elections. I mean, Farage is already sitting as an MEP. I mean, it was the last time I checked. I haven't fucking checked up on him for a while, but I think that's their sort of their golden plan. And it's going to be interesting to sort of see when, you know, you end up with fucking Sargon running for MEP in his constituency and the other lot they've got going, whether they do actually get anywhere. Because I think that's where it actually counts. I think a lot of people are sort of holding back and seeing where this MEP thing comes from. But I definitely think Jim's right when he says about we need a party that's right of centre, not just a fucking one-issue party. And I think there was a sort of mistake with... Definitely a mistake with the Brexit party because it's in the title. It was a mistake with the For Britain party because For Britain is a fucking slogan and not a party. And UKIP, they did have that sort of right of conservative policy. You know, they were always sort of staunchly anti-immigration, and then somewhere along the line that changed because they went through a period of just swapping through leaders like fucking anything. And then now you're going to get back to the sort of point where you've got fucking classical liberals in the party, which, you know, if you want to be a fucking classical liberal in a party, just go and join the Conservatives. Because that's all.
Join the Liberal Democrats or something.
Yeah, well, at this point, just join the Conservatives because I'm seeing very... I mean, I look at the sort of the Labour policies and I look at the, you know, quote-unquote Conservative policies, and I can't see all that much difference. The only thing that genuinely scares me about the Labour Party is John McDonnell and their sort of tendency towards the IRA and communism. But aside from that, it just seems to be a fucking... It's the same old shit. And that's the sort of apathy we've got in England, is we've got the Liberal Democrats, we've got the Tories and the Labour Party, and you'll have a really, really hard time finding a policy... excuse me. A policy distinction between the three of them.
I think there is a slight difference between UKIP and the Sargon Brigade and the Conservative Party, and that's nationalism via globalism. It's possible to be a libertarian nationalist as opposed to a libertarian globalist. So I think there is an important distinction there.
I will say about the For Britain Party, Anne-Marie Waters made like a big point about staking her ego on... splitting off and making another movement just to get...
I mean, talking about Sargon. Can everyone hear me? He's going dead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we've got some kind of problem here because Jim and Ari, I can't hear each other or something. I don't know. I don't know what to do about that.
Well, I'm sort of... I think there keeps being big sort of points of dead air from where I'm coming from. Are there conversations going on that I can't hear?
I don't know. Aria's just dropped out. But what she's saying is, I mean, what I would say about the Conservatives is that it's pointless even pretending that the Conservative Party is a Conservative Party. They've the immigration, just to get back on the numbers, because a lot of people are forgetting there's 300,000 immigrants coming to this country every year, and that's on the Conservatives' watch. I'm not sure what it is that they're trying to conserve. The most draconian hate speech laws are coming in under the Conservatives. All this gay marriage, all this tranny stuff's coming into the Conservatives. They have been setting the education agenda for 10 fucking years. Everybody kind of lays this at the feet of the left. Oh, let's blame the, the social justice warriors and the lefties and all of that. The Conservative Party's been in power for 10 fucking years. This is why they need to be completely destroyed. And Farage is just getting in the way of that, as far as I can see. The Farage Party is just a buffer between a sort of raw populism and the elites, which is why I voted UKIP. And I've been kind of happy to see Sargon going on about this kind of stuff.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the Conservative Party isn't a Conservative Party anymore, and it deserves to just fall apart.
Yeah, it's a fucking joke. Conservative by name only, and that's it. It's a combination of fucking country club boys and, you know, sort of middle of the road, slightly less immigration nationalism, if you can even fucking call it that. It's an absolute joke. And
the way... The way they threw Roger Scruton under the bus, like I did a video on it, and it was just an absolute disgrace that it was, you know, they had this sort of left-wing scumbag at the New Statesman, and he found a few politically incorrect things, took it out of context, lied, and then made a Twitter storm about it. And within 4 hours, Roger Scruton was sacked from his position as a government advisor on architecture and stuff. And the Tory government just caved. They just went down straight away. And, I mean, I've said it before, I don't even know the names of the people in these parties anymore at the top. It doesn't make a blind bit of difference. It really doesn't. It's fair to just lump them all into one blob and call it the mainstream, because that's all it is at the end of the day, like.
And also, I mean, as far as I can see, UKIP are like 90s conservatives. They're not radical. I mean, they're trying to nowadays make them out as if they're some sort of neo-Nazi wannabe fascists. And they're nothing of the kind. And it shows how far the mainstream have moved, that 90s Tories are now out with the political mainstream and they're no longer acceptable. And that the media will try and crush them just for being very middle of the road, very mild conservatives.
I mean, Ori, are you sorted out there with your sound and that?
Well, can you hear me now?
I can.
Can you? Well, yeah, I've been trying to make this point about Anne Marie Waters. Like, she's sort of staked her ego on splitting off a new party, and she'd like lose too much face to rejoin UKIP now. But I think I remember hearing at one point they were like competing against UKIP, and they ended up both of them losing council seats because of it. Like, there needs to be more like working with each other and like unity amongst these pro-Brexit parties. But on the other hand, they do have like some actual quite good policies, and it's like forcing them to like explore and go out further and try new ideas and stuff, which is it's quite useful, I think.
Something that I wanted to get into is when we look at the kind of UKIP strategy, and we can think of it, we can say that it's the sort of Donald Trump strategy, where what you do is you come out with statements and comments which are deliberately designed to trigger the shit libs in the mass media, and then their reaction, the masses will side with you against them. So that's kind of, however it turned out with Trump once he was in office, that's for the Americans to deal with. But just have a look at the strategy to win an election is a pretty interesting one. And I've heard Sargon say on one of his videos that that's actually what he's up to here, where they'll trigger the mainstream press by saying politically incorrect things or doubling down on things that he said in the past. And then the idea is you'll sort of whip up a load of support from the masses, and they'll side with you against the mainstream. This isn't working, in my opinion, with the UKIP thing. And we can get into why that is. I've got some specific thoughts on what's gone wrong here. And I think it's interesting that the stuff that people don't want to defend isn't actually the politically incorrect stuff. So he said, for example, I don't give a shit about the Holocaust. And then he said the N-word, I can't say it on YouTube, and all of this kind of thing. And people will kind of go be all right with that. People will kind of think, yeah, but well, why should we care about these issues from World War II? But the problem that you get is when it's about these rape tweets and about this stuff about kiddie fiddling. And I know it was all taken out of context. I don't think he's a child molester, anything of the sort. I think he's just someone who's talked a lot of crap on the internet. But the problem is that's not a hill anybody wants to die on. And you can make a clear distinction between the political correctness as an ideology, which people hate, and what I would consider to be just common decency. And if you're having a few pints with the lads in the pub, and it's a rape tweet guy, and what is it, the age of having sex with boys discussions, they don't want to know the context. They just think it's fucking awful straight away, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's what's weird is that they're not outright talking points. They're the talking points of the skeptic community going back to like sort of 2015, where it was like, fuck it, I'll say whatever the hell I want, and if you don't like it, then fuck you. I don't care if you're offended. That was their attitude, and it's that's coming to bite them back in the arse, I think.
Well, I think the main problem why their numbers are tanking so much is because most people are just like looking at the news every now and then. And then they see, oh, UKIP candidate has got all these quotes about raping MPs and child rape is the other one. And they did some about Count Dankula as well, where they're saying, he's linked to racist posts in his Discord. And they don't, nobody really cares about the details. Like the amount of people who care about the details is just like an absolute like tiny fraction of like the people who can actually vote in this country, and then most of their audiences are going to be abroad as well, and or they're not going to necessarily be old enough to vote. So it doesn't really matter what all the details are. Like they're quibbling about, oh, actually he said he wouldn't rape her.
Yeah.
They're digging up all these hangouts from years ago and trying to say, oh, actually it was from two hangouts where he was talking about child rape, and they've stitched them together. Well, like why like most people are just looking for reasons to not have to vote for UKIP. They're looking for reasons why they can say, oh, they're just a bunch of racists, and it doesn't really matter. It's just like this whole thing has just been like a complete disaster, and like the establishment's just betrayed Brexit, and it should have been like a gift to UKIP, and instead they're like trailing down at 4% in the polls, and
yeah, it
losing
is
like over 100 seats in the local elections. So, like, you can say like whatever you want about Sargon, but at the end of the day, UKIP is crashing.
Yeah.
See, this is what I mean when I say that, you know, online following, online popularity really, really doesn't translate to real life. I mean, you've got the case where we're in a sort of situation where the slightest little thing you say will be scrutinized, and, you know, you make the slightest comment that could be anti-immigrant or pro-white and you're going to be absolutely hammered for it. So when you're joining a right-wing party, you want to make sure that there's very, very few skeletons in your closet, because they are absolutely going to fuck you for what you've said. And, you know, I don't really care what he said. The whole white N-word thing was actually hilarious. But I think it's a sort of failure of Batten as much as anyone, not to just stop and do a little bit of research. And I know for a fact he was warned about letting, Sargon in particular into the party. I don't know so much about Dankula, because the general consensus is that the persecution against Dankula was absolutely ridiculous. You know, that was clearly a joke. But when you've got Sargon saying these things about...
Hang on a minute. Somebody got a lot of background noise going on there. Is it Jim?
I've been having some problems. I couldn't hear you, but I can hear you again now. I think there might be a problem at my end. I want to put some headphones in.
Right, so what was that, Jackson? We're going on about Count Dankula and...
Yeah, sorry, mate. Yeah, Dankula, you can quite easily defend as saying, oh, it was clearly a joke. You know, the dog did a fucking salute, big wow. That's easy enough to defend. But when you've got, like, it's not even the things that the media have to lie that he said, it's the things that he's actually said. And in this particular climate, associating with comments like on the stream with Amos Yee, where he said about, oh, it depends on the child and all that, that's not even out of context. You know, he did sort of argue that point. And when I say I take a bit of Schadenfreude in this, is because I quite like, you've mentioned it before, Mr. Metica, that Sargon had a big rant at him and called him a child groomer. And now this is all sort of coming back onto him.
Yeah, it's like this whole thing, watching this play out, is like people were warning all the senior members of UKIP that this was exactly what was going to happen years ago. And it's just like karma, watching it all play out now, because it, like, everything that's happening to him is stuff that he's already done to other people, like with Mr. Metica. And there was one with Andy Worski as well, where he was in some little Discord hangout thing. And they were trying to smear Andy Worski as a paedophile as well. I think they were making
up. He actually tweeted the FBI that, quote unquote, notorious paedophile Andy Worski is coming to the United States.
Yeah, so, and he's planning a shooting rampage. And he was just doing hundreds of tweets where he was calling Andy Worski a paedophile. And
this is right. So this is the problem, and where this is now the discussion, and not, let's say, the bias of the liberal media or grooming gangs or Islam or the corruption in government or Brexit's being...
Yeah, ignored. Like the number one issue is supposed to be Brexit and Article 13 and...
Yeah, Article 13, they're going to...
Fucking shit now, with Sargon dragging it all up and fucking everything up.
Sorry, Morgoth. But that is the absolute issue, is that this fucking little sideshow, if you know you are that, you know, toxic and that no one wants to touch you with someone else's cock, why would you join a political party if you truly believed in it? I mean, he said before that, oh, UKIP is the party for, oh, I can't remember his exact term, but it was, oh, it's the uncool party or something. He's joined it and he's made it to look like he's joined it out of, you know, some glorious motive. His liberalist party fucked up. He fucked up. And now he's dragged the only sort of real alternative we have, because let's face it, the BNP have been smeared as, you know, literally Hitler. But the only real alternative that we actually had would have been UKIP or...
Right, I mean, this is why I support a broad populism, because what I'm desperate for is to break political correctness. Because if we want to have a proper nationalist party, we want to have a proper movement which represents the people of this country, which I think would be very socially conservative and left-leaning on economic issues, like sort of nationalist and socialist sort of party. But then what we need for that to happen is to break political correctness. So people are
I disavow.
So people are speaking their minds again, and that political correctness loses its power. Now, yeah, you can do that if you dig in on these issues and you don't back down, and that's kind of what the UKIP sort of thing could have been. Instead, it's been completely derailed because everybody's talking about rape tweets and kiddie fiddling. And it's, I think the media knows that. I think the media thinks we could have made more out of these comments about the Holocaust, but we don't even need to bother. We don't even need to bother sort of getting down into the trenches and fighting on that front, which we don't want to do. We'll just go and rake up all of this bullshit that they came out with when the skeptics were cool.
Yeah, so then the question is, like, who should we get behind for this upcoming European elections? Because there's people in the chat saying if you support populism, then you should vote for the Brexit Party. But they're basically the establishment party. It's just like the safety valve or whatever, and it's not even a real party. It's a one issue party. And like, what does everybody think about whether to support the Brexit Party or stick with UKIP? Or,
well, there's an argument to be made for the Brexit Party, which is, as I see it, the chaos that they'll unleash inside of the European Parliament. There is an argument, and I watched Mark Collard's video. I've already said Farage, he is an egomaniac. He is this sort of Captain Ahab figure, and the leaving the EU is his Moby Dick. But I can see how they would be quite chaotic inside of the European Union and the amount of pressure they're going to put on the system. Right, so I'm going to read out a few super chats. I want to say straight away, thank you very much for the super chats. We've got the Thin Red Line, 50 Danish kroner, I think that is. Buy yourself a pint, Morgoth. You were a very astute commentator. I'd be a lot better if I wasn't such a retard with technology, but I'm working on it. Thanks a lot, mate. Create and Pirate, £10. Good evening, all. Great to see Jackson back. It is. Thanks a lot. White Dragon of the English for £1. Cheers, pal. Super Nick X, £9.99. Labour or a minority grievance party. Liberal Democrats are a globalist international, and the Tories are an insipid non-entity that conserves only their existence in lieu of political philosophy. Very well put. Exactly. So anyway, what's happened to Jim? Have we lost Jim, or am I just here by myself now?
I'm still here.
Yeah, audio decided to die.
So let's get on. I'm echoing. Yeah, like, fucking hell. Can we? Anybody on this? Anybody on the panel learn how to use a computer?
Well, I'm muted. It says boomer tick, isn't it?
You're on twice. Jim's disappeared. Right. So,
well, I think looking at the chat, there's still a lot of people that think we should get behind UKIP still, and
that's
what Mark was saying as well.
What you can do, I think, is to just draw a line under the whole skeptic era and say, yeah, I said a lot of crap on these streams. I'm not going to answer for it all. Can we get back on the issues? Why are we talking about rape tweets and not Muslim grooming gangs? For example, there's something that you could frame it in that way. And just say, I've had it. And to be fair, I watched a few of the videos going up, and that does seem to be where they need to go. I mean, we're talking about rape tweets, and there was just another grooming gang rolled up last week. Hey, give me a fucking break, eh? But even then, I mean, it was on Twitter before, Jess Phillips is coming out because he's doubled down on the rape thing. It's like there's a video up on the channel of him in Gibraltar with a pair of fucking sunglasses on, and he's making jokes about it again.
Well, actually, there's BuzzFeed News have just put out an article about that today. It says the headline is UKIP candidate Carl Benjamin has talked again about raping Labour MP Jess Phillips, and now she wants action. It says, if Facebook and Twitter can ban these people for hate speech, how is it they are allowed to stand for election? Phillips told BuzzFeed News.
What?
So he's just giving them more and more ammunition.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking about this before. Like he thinks that, oh, political correctness is bad. I want to be like Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't apologize for anything. And so he just goes into this into that press conference where he's in front of all the reporters and all these cameras, and he's just like doubling down, going, no, I'm not apologizing for anything. Like she's being a giant bitch. And it's like, for goodness sake, it's like you could just say, like, oh well, it was just like a silly comment from a few years ago. Like, I understand, like, rape is a serious issue, and I just want to put that aside and talk about like Brexit and Article 13. Yeah. And he's just doubling down. He called her a giant bitch in front of a room full of journalists.
And the problem with that is that if the press are attacking you, let's say I'm sitting with my mates. I spoke about this in the pub with my mate and my brother last week. And I kind of, because they're kind of the average working class white lad, and they tested the waters, you know what I mean? And they were like, yeah, if I'd love to see them getting all this sort of stuff about, like, you know, the JQ maybe, or Muslims or whatever it was, globalists, you know, all this stuff. If we can get that into the discussion, it would be great. And the target audience that they're going for will be receptive to triggering the libshits, but they're not going to die on the hill of "I wouldn't rape you" tweets, because it just triggers the shit out of people. And especially, that's not even to mention the stuff about the kiddie porn. You know, there's people, there's men up here, I know of men up here who've been burned out of their homes because they have been accused of being a nonce. And it's no man in his right mind wants to go anywhere near that issue, but they will make an argument when it comes to the what's actually ideologically, politically incorrect. They understand that because political correctness is attacking them. But
that's sort of the whole point of what Sargon does, though, isn't it? He basically supports, like, civic nationalism or whatever. He still supports some immigration from the third world. So he basically has normie, like, politically correct positions, but he says that he's not being politically correct because he says racist words sometimes jokingly. And he says he's against political correctness, but he's basically for it, except saying racist words, but not standing on any of the actual issues that the establishment are against.
That was what you've touched on there is a lot of this, all this shit that they're digging up from the streams, it goes back to the skeptic community. And that was, for them, it was like left libertarian. They all had these really big YouTube channels, and it was all about attacking the SJWs, the feminists. And now and then there was a bit of something a bit edgy about Muslims or whatever, but it was weak tea. And on top of that, it was like deliberately being sort of gross and offensive. And a lot of that's what's been popping up. And so they would see that to them was everything. The problem that they got into was when the alt-right, sort of 2016, began to grow and sort of branch out into YouTube, the skeptics began to get a little bit nervous, because then all of a sudden you had people who were really saying edgy things, about the Holocaust and about who's behind cultural Marxism and who runs the banks and all of a sudden the what sort of Laurie Penny and Lacey Green were to the skeptics were to the alt-right, and eventually it blew their community apart. And that's what's being dug up now. It's not stuff to do, which it's not anything of worth. It's just fluff, really. It's just this fluff. It means nothing. It doesn't carry any weight to it, but they like to think that it does. And it because the core principle is, well, if you're offended, then fuck you. And that's a kind of nihilistic, trashy way to look at the world, which...
You were saying to me, it's sort of like a 12-year-old boy sat in his room in his underwear saying fuck you to the world, and that's like the depth of where they're coming from.
That's as far as it goes. And it mainly came in from the sort of new atheist crowd and the sort of left libertarian type stuff. And, I mean, Sargon's only really... What happened, my impression, because I'm not as up to speed on all these YouTube channels as a lot of people, but my impression was that as time sort of went on, they eventually became a sort of alt-light, where they wouldn't sort of punch rightwards, and they just carried on collecting the patron money selling the merch in the comments section and focusing on feminism and just kind of like being the alt-right. You know, we'll not piss off the real hardcore element, because we can't beat them in an argument, because we're just going to keep our heads down. But I mean, Sargon is sort of the last skeptic in that way. The other way that could have gone would be the Croughton Tea full retard thing, where he just went down in a sort of blaze of shame.
He's still doing it. That's the best thing, is he's still fucking doing it. He's still fucking putting out videos about the Nazis and how conservatives prostitute themselves to white nationalism. The sort of lack of self-awareness and the lack of changing opinions that the sort of the old school skeptics seem to have. It's fucking hilarious, and they're starting to suffer for it, and I think that's what you're sort of seeing with Sargon.
And that's what interests me, because as I say, like, it is kind of infantile, this stuff. It's not really politically incorrect. It's like a sort of an offense against common decency, because the sort of radical individualists wouldn't make any distinction between political correctness and a sort of good old fashioned Christian morality. To them, it was all the same. To them, it was all other people telling them that they couldn't say things or they shouldn't say things. And when it comes down to it, the problem they've got is that if you're going to go after sort of socially conservative working class lads in the North, they're not going to really take too kindly to this stuff about rape and kiddie porn, even if it was taken out of context. They don't even want to look that far into it. And I think the way you're going to get through that is to just draw a line under it and say, right, I talk a lot of shit on these streams. Let's get into what's happening now on the ground in today. I don't even know if that'll work, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the sort of Donald Trump attempt, and I saw it and I cringed. I really cringed at it. The sort of whole go-off thing at the media, I'm not answering these questions, I'm not answering this, I'm not answering that. I think they sort of fail to realise that their online sway doesn't really hold anything with the media. The media are always, you know, they're always more funded, they're always more, they've got more support, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, and Trump was a class act. I mean, he did have that charisma about him, and he could do that. Maybe it is where you just get men who are like that, who can pull that off.
Well, the difference with Trump is that he said like sort of edgy things and refused to apologize and refused to back down. But when it came to like the serious thing about the grab him by the pussy tape, is like after that, he just came out and apologized. Like he there is a line, but Sargon and these people just think, oh, you should never apologize on under any circumstances. But even Trump knew that there was a line that.
Yeah. This is what I'm getting at. Let's say Trump made the comment about Mexican rapists. They're not sending their best. They're sending in murderers. They're sending in rapists. And that triggered the lib shit media. And Trump would double down on that because he knew there was a huge sort of base of support on it. But when the pussy tape came out, he just kind of apologized for it instantly to kill the issue. I said, yeah, it was a locker room talk is what he said. It was like, yeah, this is just stupid banter that we did. Men's talk. I'm not going to own that. I'm not going to die on that hill. And it works. Jim, I think you might just have to drop out, pal, because I would just drop out. What's happening? Yeah.
Jim, your camera's on, mate.
Jim, just drop out. Right. So sorry about that, everybody. Christ almighty. this year's equivalent of that Irish lad who took the stream last year.
This is why I was like, I put clothes on before the stream.
Right, so I'm gonna read out some super chats while
whatever, kick him from the chat or something until he sorts it out.
Why whatever's going on there in his house, I don't know. I'm gonna read out some super chats. Right, so we've got £5. Thanks for all you do, Morgoth. You're a breath of fresh air compared to all the bollocks around. Also, we're not voting our way out of this. Well, you could be right. I think I want to break this political correctness and get people speaking their minds and have a clear line between us and them. We need to be speaking, and if we can use a party like UKIP, like a sort of snowplow to clear the way for people to speak their minds. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but that's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm looking at it. optimistic nihilist for £5. Even when UKIP are called fascist, is there any chance in the future for an explicitly pro-white party in Britain? RN, it seems we're very fringe. Yeah, we are, because we can't mainstream what we have to say because of political correctness and because we've got this buffer. That's why, like I say, is we need a clearance party, a party that will break this political correctness and open up the discussion. We need what would be called anti-politics. UKIP is supposed to, at this stage, UKIP is supposed to be anti-politics, to break down what's in place. Right, so Super Chat Lady Rotha, £20. Thank you very much. Thanks for all of these, by the way. This is the I'm just a working class bloke. I'm not used to getting money on the internet. Christ. Thank you, White Man from Caribou, £1.99. Thank you very much, darling. Super Chat Joshua Darach, £20. I'll vote UKIP out of principle, as they are the most right-wing party available here. However, Sorgan is a fool for trying to sway voters who get most of their news from the Sun with arguments based on an internet subculture. That's a good point, actually.
I'd sort of suggest looking into For Britain as well. Just look at their policies and see what they're about.
It's the Super Chat made a very good point as well, which we didn't touch on, which is that the people that UKIP are going for, they will read the Sun and the Daily Mail, and if their own sort of, and we can complain about the mass media, the lefty, the Guardian, you know, I have a great time tearing that shit apart. But the fact is that the base of UKIP is going to be reading like the Daily Mail and the Sun. So their own like media, their go-to media source is going to attack UKIP as well. Really, and that's not the fault of UKIP, by the way. And I've spoke about this before, the Daily Mail and the Sun are disgusting because it's day after day after day. By the way, Breitbart as well, they're pro Farage, isn't that right, Arya? Rahim Kassan?
Say that again.
Breitbart are pro Brexit party, they're pro Farage, I think.
Yeah, I think so. They're sort of like Zionists as well, and Farage is working for that LBC, which is like it's like a Zionist propaganda thing.
So
like radio.
Yeah. So you can see,
and that's sort of what he was with Trump as well. Who was it that got together after Trump won and Brexit won? I remember Farage going over to see. He had a meeting with Trump and
Rahim Kassam, wasn't it? In the where it's that famous photo in the golden.
Yeah, who was it? Who was it with them then? Well, either way, it would, like all of those just turned out to be a bunch of Zionist shills anyway. So
yeah. And like what I was going to get into was that the problem is the mainstream press on the right is probably more dangerous to populism in this country than something like The Guardian, which the working class whites are not going to read anyway. But they, because
Steve Bannon is what people are saying in the chat.
Yeah, it is. It was Steve Bannon. Because the problem is that when they're going to sit around in the canteen at work and they're going to read something like The Sun, or the Daily Mail, and even they've come out. I mean, I think the Daily Mail or something called Sorgan like a sicko. They're not calling him racist or he's full of hate or whatever. They're calling him a sicko. It's not
sick. It goes on sick rant about child rape.
That you're dead, and that's going straight out to your base of support. It's not their fault. It's not UKIP or Sorgan's fault. But the idea that you can bypass that with a big YouTube channel is complete fantasy.
Yeah, the only way that Trump actually got away with what he did is that people knew him in real life. They knew he was this big businessman. He had some success behind him. He wasn't some fucking, Gamergate YouTuber with a decent amount of subscribers. I mean, this is the sort of thing they don't realise. You can look at Trump and say, oh, yeah, he's brave and this, that and the other. Obviously, I've got my own issues with Donald Trump. Won't really go into them. But, getting backstage and having a having a little go at the brave powder doesn't make you charismatic. And that's what sort of Trump managed to coast on. And I think that's what they've sort of missed here. And you can really see it on Gerard Batten's face. It's like Gerard Batten sitting there and, you know, when he walked out of the interview when they're asking him about the comments that Sargon made and, you know, the sort of the all that kind of thing. And he doesn't look like a political leader. He doesn't look like a man who's in control. He looks like a man that's thinking, oh, God, what the fuck have I done? And he gets up and he fucks off.
I think one of the reasons that Batten is like he was warned about like how all this would go, like exact he knew like people told him that it would go exactly like this with Sargon, yet he still like allowed himself to get so close to Sargon. He's run him as like one of his main candidates. He's gone out on TV and defended like his like rape tweets or whatever. Why did he get so close to him? You've got to think it's almost like he's sort of insecure about his leadership position, so he has to like find allies, and he thinks that Sargon is like going to help him with social media, and that's sort of why he's allowed all of this to happen.
Yeah, so,
sorry.
No, go on, Jackson. I've spoke quite a lot. Have you seen there?
Yeah, no, I know someone who literally left UKIP over this sort of shit and said, like, you know, you're letting Sargon in and it's going to cause more fucking aggro than it's worth, that, you know, real life politics don't translate to how many following that people have got on YouTube. I mean, you know, a lot of the people who watch Sargon fucking hold him up to be the next Jordan Peterson. Most of them aren't fucking old enough to vote. I mean, I think the sort of more mature people that would go out and actually vote and consider a viable right-wing candidate, they're not going to look at UKIP because they're looking at the company they keep. You can always judge a man by the company they keep. And when you've got fucking Sargon and Count Dankula, you know, regardless of whatever comments they've made, the fact that the first thing that they did when getting in was to make the UKIP liberalists, you know, it shows that they're a cuckoo in the nest.
After Batten defended the rape tweet thing, like three female councillors left, like three MEP candidate women for UKIP left the party, citing that as a reason. And I think a whole bunch of other like prominent people have left UKIP because of it. And when he went to Gloucester the other day, I think I think all of the leadership of Gloucester in UKIP or whatever, they left UKIP and they put a message on their site. They took down their website for UKIP Gloucester and they have this message up about Sargon saying they can't support a party that endorses all of these rape comments and stuff, and they've still got that up on their website.
Crazy.
So it's been like there's lots of people that have left UKIP as well because of it.
Three MEPs?
Yeah, three female MEP candidates for UKIP.
How many of you UKIP got altogether, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Not that many anymore.
Fucking hell. And you know, you leave the party. I don't want to be part of this. And on my way out, I'm going to blow up the website as well. Fuck you. Put that in your pipe and fucking smoke it, Batten.
Go on.
I was just going to switch gears to Tommy Robinson as well. So we've got the other element coming in here as well. Mr. Milkshake. I mean, so what I will say, though, is that Tommy doesn't, because what I've repeated myself quite a bit on this stream is to say, if you try and appeal to working class types, they're not going to go in for this sort of oh-so-clever individualist, left-leaning, libertarian bullshit that was fashionable on YouTube 3 years ago. And you'll notice they don't have that. They can't get Tommy on shit like that because he knows it. Even if he is, like, not our guy. He at least grew up in, is it Luton or Hull or somewhere?
Luton, yeah.
So he kind of gets it. He gets that the worst possible thing that can happen is that you're called a nonce, even if it's unfair and even if it's taken out of context. You never go anywhere near that shit. And the working class whites will stick by you when you're being called a racist or an Islamophobe or a fascist or whatever it is. It kind of proves my point that I've been trying to get into there. Whether or not, you know, where that can go in the long run, where you've only got a swell of working class support, I don't know. I don't think it can get that far, because you're going to end up in a sort of a middle management type when you need people to organize shit, won't get done.
See, I think people, especially the sort of Tories, this is what's fucked them the hardest, is that they underestimate the working class. It's like the sort of working class man. I mean, you know, the industry that I work in is very, very non-white. It's a sort of low-skill industry. I do, you know, security, so we've got a shit ton of Nigerians and all that. But what I've always found is that the white men stick together. And the white men sort of have that little bit of fellowship that you don't see in sort of other things like the police force or anything. And so you end up with a little bit more nationalism. And Tommy Robinson, oh yeah, he's a big figure and all that, but he's another fucking gatekeeper. Because you get to the point where, oh yeah, Tommy Robinson, he knows who the fucking issue is. He knows, you know, he's brave enough to say that these grooming gangs are bad, you know. So fucking what? He also wears a shirt that says IDF on it. It's like cutting one head off the Hydra and expecting the Hydra to die. That's all it is. It's another gatekeeping towards the actual solution, which is nationalism, but with a more economic socialist vibe, if you get what I mean.
Well, I mean, I was just going to go through some super chats because that's come up in one, so I'll get to that right now. Propaganda, $5 US, thank you very much. How do you appeal to people who care about more about class issues, like the people in Tony Benn wing and the Labour Party? The class issue, where you would have to go, where I would say is the dynamite. You have to abolish class, really. That seems like a crazy concept in Britain, which is riddled with it. And I'm obviously at the bottom end of the scale there. I'm very, very working class. But if you look at a country like Germany, it had a completely different philosophical tradition, especially the sort of with the German idealism and German Prussian socialism would be where the state was a sort of self-contained unit, and it was socialistic, but not there wasn't in a sort of left-wing way. It was where there was a higher goal and way of being in relationship for the people to the state. It was all a cohesive whole and everything had its way. And what you get, that sounds, the problem then, of course, is that you are going to get sort of the classic liberal type immediately moaning on about collectivism. But what you get is a genuine sense of being with and belonging within that community. And the problem is it encompassed all facets of society, and that was also include the economics. So they didn't take kindly. They didn't want German wealth from German people being internationalized and going into central banks and what have you, and definitely not interest. And so you can see where that headed, and that ended up with two world wars. That's the story of that. So my ideal would be to one of the things I do on my YouTube channel is sort of slyly mess around with these ideas, you know, like they're bringing forward idealism. Like, why is it that we make a bridge that costs a lot of money, but if it's all about economics, which is what the Tory party is now, everything is economics. It's a horrible way of looking at the world. Why would, if you go to a nature park and you see like a little bridge on a pretty path, why actually make that? Where does that come from? That doesn't really have any economic sense. But it's because people need more than that. People need more than just materialism. And this is what nationalism needs to tap into. It needs to tap into being, and it needs to be more than just materialism, which is a sort of, I mean, politics, the left and the right, is just an argument about money at the end of the day when it comes down to it. And the third position, which is what I have, is where there's another element that we need to bring into play. And it's a positive one as well. Anyway, I rambled on quite.
Yeah, it's sort of like architecture and art and focusing on those things and giving a positive message to nationalism rather than just talking about immigration and.
If you look at those like National Socialism and you see those pictures, the crowds are just so happy, and there's this which you can look up as well as there's a Latvian music festival, and I think it's all Estonian, I'm not sure, but it's a really big thing, and you just look at those crowds, you know. They're absolutely just so at peace and so happy. They're in their own place in the world, and they're in a genuine philosophical sense of being. They are right there in the moment where they belong with each other, and the music is coming from them. So it's like a sort of positive feedback loop, and you look at how happy they are. Look at how content they are. That's the positive. That's what I want to see in England for English people, for example. Or Britain for white British people. And the problem is you need to have control of the culture. I don't know what you can do on the internet, but you need to reach them like that. And people will be drawn to that kind of positivism. If there's too much, in my opinion, where it's forever going back, and it's forever going back and saying, we've been slaves to the Rothschilds for longer than you knew. You don't know the real truth. You don't know how fucking bad it really is. And it's like the misery it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse the further you go down that rabbit hole. The German idealism was essentially to just negate that entirely and bring forward positivism, idealism. So anyway,
and that's what scares them the most, is the fact that this whole sort of capitalist thing of consume this, consume that, work work until you're 65 for a fucking pittance, it all falls apart when people start to sort of realise that the only thing you need is a bit of greenery around you, a wife, a few kids, and some decent mates. And preferably, of course, your faith. And that's all you really need. And that's what this whole sort of drive has been to destroy.
Right, so thin red line again, another 20, I think it's Danish krona. Political system of Britain is falling apart, not fast enough. What sort of gets on my nerves is now there's this sort of liberal democrat surge. So let's say Labour and the Conservatives will collapse for 5 or 6 years. And then the Liberal Democrats will just step into their place. It's just like Jackson said before, these Hydra's heads. You chop one off, you chop two off, and then there's another one just waiting to pop up again.
I was really shocked to see Liberal Democrats just come out of nowhere, and they picked up an additional 700 seats, like 1,339 in total, it says. It's just like they've come out of nowhere. It's like, what? I haven't heard anything from them for years. I thought they were dead since the coalition government.
Yeah, I know. We've got Nick X, £9.99. Thank you very much, Nick. I think Sargon thinks he's like that guy out of the Take On Me 80s music video by A-ha, where the dude was trying to escape a comic book and enter reality, but fatter and less attractive. I do. I'm not familiar with that video, but I take the point. Super chat, Niall Oldhouse, £1.99. Hail Jack, be Catholic. Well, we're not getting into that one tonight, mind Jackson. We did that last time. All over the coals for that. Super chat, Joe Rybicki, £2. Traditionalism set out by Julius Evola is ideal. I think you're right there. I've been reading Julius Evola recently, and it's part of that. Yeah, it does sound sort of esoteric, but we're so deep in the poop here. We do need to be not just reducing immigration and things like that, but revising how we actually look at the world and interact with the world completely. A complete philosophical, metaphysical overhaul is what's needed to get through this, I think. Right. So where are we moving on to now?
Oh, well, were we still talking about Tommy Robinson? Because there was that video yesterday where I think he was speaking in, what was it? What, it began with W something. What was it? Warrington or?
Yeah, the milkshake incident and the fight with Antifa on the street, you mean?
Well, first there was that milkshake thing, but after that as well, I think he had all his people marching through the streets and then they got into a big fight as well. And that was, there was loads of videos of that as well. And it looked like Tommy Robinson, he's got like one of his assistants or something, his Danny something. And he just basically started a fight with someone on the street. And it's like that. It's like that whole thing is going to be a bit of a shit show as well. And
it really is. Because, like, all right, so people will say, like, somebody pelted Jeremy Corbyn with an egg. And I think he went to jail for that, by the way. So, yeah, that you do have that double standard. But then, I mean, that Pakistani kid, like, doused Tommy Robinson with a milkshake. And then,
wasn't even the first time he'd been hit that day, yeah. and the day before as well, he'd also gotten a milkshake over him.
Yeah. He's had loads of fights. You can see on YouTube anytime. Like,
in the past few days when he's been campaigning for his MEP thing, he's been getting in loads of like incidents. And I saw one where like someone said something to him, and he was trying to get them arrested. So he's like, "Oh, this racism! Arrest him for racism!" And he's just getting in all these weird little incidents and fights. And
he reacted to the milkshake one.
Yeah, and he started punching that guy, didn't he?
A combo. It was a combo of punches. Like he was going for a punch bag. And it's like and I understand where that's coming from. It was. But Christ almighty, he's trying to get into the European Parliament, you know what I mean? I don't know, maybe it'll work.
He's supposed to be on his best behaviour, like presenting himself as a politician, and he's getting in all these fights on the streets and all this crazy activism again.
To be fair, though, it did work quite well for Fraser Anning, you know, the fucking Aussie, when that kid fucking threw an egg at him. And you've got some big Australian
inbound. Like, I mean, this is similar, actually. Optimistic Nihilist, £2. Thank you very much. Thoughts on purely cynical accelerationism. I'm not a fan because I think you're just going to accelerate into a bad place. I think you have to change consciousness of people. I think what you'd end up with there is people sitting around in the ruins, but they'd still be just liberals. At the end of the day, I think you could kind of blow it all up, and everybody will be sitting and like wandering around. And you could say, well, the liberalism wouldn't last actually if it was a sort of if the system crashed and burned. But you the philosophical path of Western civilization is going to end that way anyway. But the problem is, we've got nothing to replace that with. So you're going to end up where you've still got the residue of the old way of thinking. Like, you're just going to be like a sort of zombie wandering around on the ruins. There's no point in having accelerationism if you don't have a new philosophy to replace the one that's dying and destroyed your world, in my opinion. Go on, Jackson.
Yeah, no, people think they can accelerate into some grand liberalist utopia where you know, everyone goes anarcho-primitivist and everyone's got their sticks and they can defend their fucking mud hut. But that's not the case. It was always the strongest tribes had a strong leadership. And it's really the case until we abandon the fear of authority. And when I say authority, I don't mean fucking Theresa May and her hate speech laws. I mean a proper authority under a man, a proper authority designed to preserve, actually preserve and conserve something, which, you know, the Conservatives have completely failed to do. I think that's the only way any society sort of post this accelerationism can collapse. And I think I said in one of my videos that there's no sense burning it to the fucking ground if there's nothing there to replace it, which is why accelerationism is a, I can understand it, but it's a bad idea in the long run if you don't have someone to step in, because then it just becomes anarchy.
Yeah. If you're already in a position of weakness, which let's say we are, why would you want to burn down the system? Because it seems that in a lot of ways, the system wants itself to be destroyed. It doesn't matter about collateral damage. It wants more control. These arguments don't really catch on in Britain at all, because it would just be suicide. But they do seem to be more popular in America, where, you know, you've got, like, you can go and sit on a farm in Idaho or somewhere like that and build a bunker and stock it up with tinned fish and buy a few of them rifles, buy a couple of shotguns, and you're all set. Now, I can at least see how that kind of thing is popular in America. But I still don't see it being viable. It's just escapism at the end of the day, because you still haven't solved the problem of what you're going to do with civilization. What is it that's going to replace anything? Is everybody just going to sit on a farm like that in some sort of, we're going to go back to the Wild West? I can't see it happening, because these things can't be uninvented. This is the sort of the technology question. We are where we are, and there's no going back. We have to work with what we've got. And accelerationism is only going to make the state clamp down and use the technology to control you more. They even want it.
Which is my whole problem with the whole Christchurch thing. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, America literally has in their constitution that the right to bear arms is to defend against a tyrannical state. And for some reason, we've got it in our heads that we have the right to free speech, we have the right to this, we have the right to that. We're fucking mimicking the Americans. Never has it been enshrined in our constitution, for right or for wrong, that we've got this right to bear arms. I mean, you can get a shotgun license, fine. But it's never been the same sort of ideal that the Americans have. You know, we're not going to be able to fucking spring up some cult in Montana that can weather the doomsday or the zombie apocalypse or the whatever the fuck you like. We don't have that. We've got laws specifically preventing that. And we seem to have sort of mimicked the Americans' way of thinking so much, like, you know, free speech. Whenever I hear free speech, okay, I understand that hate speech laws are a fucking stupid thing, but that doesn't automatically mean that I want to hear some fucking communist spouting about communists on a college campus, especially when the sort of students we've got these days are thick as shit and they're happy to fall for that hook, line and sinker. There's a distinction.
I mean, it's a similar thing what you were mentioning about the gun debate. And the Americans will call us cooks because we don't have guns. But I'm absolutely not in favor of people in this country having guns. Because I'm down in the fucking trenches of working class degeneracy and random violence. And I'm telling you what, I've been in situations where I would have been in like a fucking John Wayne gunslinging gunfight, just out walking me dog with some of these scumbags. And a place, you go to some of these old pit towns which have just collapsed into horror in Northumberland, or you go down to somewhere like Middlesbrough, these slum estates on Middlesbrough. If these, and I'm not talking about immigrants, I'm talking about whites. These dilapidated areas of really poverty-stricken, degenerate, smackhead areas. If you're going to legalize guns, then it's going to be like the Wild West. They're just going to be shooting each other left, right, and center. And because what it is, it's moral decay. When guns were legalized, it was thought of as the idea of taking a gun out and shooting somebody. The men who did that, let's go back 100 years, let's say, they at least had a sort of gravity to them. They understood things about the world. They understood the weight of actually taking another man's life. And it was you had a mutual respect there. That's not going to wash in some shithole sinker state where people are just going to pull out guns and shoot each other left, right, and center, because they genetically, they're the same, but spiritually they're rotten. And that's the problem. That's what you need to fix first.
That's absolutely fucking spot on. I mean, I know for a fact if I was legally allowed to carry a firearm, I mean, we can't even carry batons, but, you know, if I was legally allowed to carry a firearm, there'd be at least 3 or 4 people dead just through fucking self-defense.
Absolutely. I've been out walking my dog, and I've got into tumbles with lads just because our dogs have gone for each other. And you've got is he carrying a knife? Am I carrying a knife? And you get into these situations. And if somebody had a gun, they just pull a gun out. As soon as that argument heated up, they'd stick a gun in your face, and you'd know that beforehand, so you would have a gun as well. And you just, it's like, who's, are you gonna walk around with a fucking holster with grease in it so that you can be the fastest draw? And this is the thing. This is why you know it's sort of this nihilistic horror, is because it's about nothing. You know, it's not this huge issue where you've had a grudge building up man to man for years and years and years, and eventually you're going to shoot it out. It'll be something against someone you didn't even know a minute ago. That's what it's like. And the idea of, I don't know what the situation is in America, but the idea of this sort of, again, this libertarian idea of, hey, legalize guns. No thanks. So anyway, Super Chat Joshua Darach, £5. We need a middle option, someone less John Locke pseudo-intellectual. I can understand nonsense Sargon. Oh, dear me. Disavow. Fuck Islam, drink lager, Tommy Robinson. No, I think he's going for the fuck Islam, drink lager, Tommy Robinson take on it. I can see. Yes, Kyle, £15. Hey, I tell you what, like, thanks a lot for these. This is unbelievable. I'll gladly stay in the EU if it means I get to watch Tommy Robinson kicking the shit out of cuckolded MEPs. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of that going forward. Judging by what's happening with Salvini and Orban and all of the rest of it. Supercharged foreign exastress, £5. The globalists, the true enemy, would love anarchy. Let's not do acceleration. Let's do talking. I think their arguments are really weak, which is why everybody's being censored and deplatformed. Rather than that's the way they're going around it, because their ideas are weak. But militarily, they can burn the whole world down. Militarily, there's absolutely nothing they can do. I remember this argument going on years about the sort of optics debate, where if you have a castle, it's like a Game of Thrones episode the other night, which everyone's talking about, where you send off the Dothraki like straight into darkness against like 100,000 zombies, and everyone cheered them on, and then they just kind of disappeared. They just got completely wiped out. You don't attack the enemy at his strongest position. This is really basic stuff. What you do is trigger them. You trigger them and you poke them and prod them. I did an article a year or two back called Lessons from the Viet Cong. And when you look a little bit at what, well, I know they did have some support from the hippies and that in America, but what the Viet Cong did was to needle the American military machine. And the Americans would react, and their reaction was right over the top. And then they would go out and explain to people why the system, why the Americans were behaving like this. They were behaving, and they would be able to just preach communism to them rather than face them head on. And it worked for a while. When they did face them head on, they got wiped out.
Yeah, you sort of have to read Sun Tzu, don't you?
Yeah. Or play strategy games. Everybody slags video games off. There's nothing wrong with playing chess or a strategy game. It's good for training the mind, I think.
Spot on, playing Total War when they charged the Dothraki, and I said that is a fucking stupid thing to do.
Yeah. It's weird because I was looking at it and thinking that it's all wrong. Why are you putting your forces outside of the castle walls? I mean, it is because nobody wants to come out and say play more video games. But these strategy games are actually good to train your mind in these ways. Super chat, Sam Sheridan, €5. How in all that is good and holy did the Lib Dems get so many seats? Were there sacrifices and chosenites involved? Almost definitely. Though the Lib Dems have got a funny history with that, actually. I'd say the most chosenite party, the most chosenite-friendly party in the British establishment now is probably the Conservatives. The Lib Dems, I can't remember what that was, but they've got a funny history with that, actually.
Well, Labour as well, they traditionally have as well. Like their last leader was Ed Miliband, so it's only recently that there's been like a groundswell of like anti-Zionism in the party that they've become less.
I don't think there even is. I think they're literally latching on to sort of, you know, standard issue anti-Israeli shit, and they're just throwing everything behind it that, oh, it's anti-Zionism or it's anti, you know, our non-shellfish eating friends. They're throwing every single little thing behind it in the sort of hope to keep this sort of moderate Tory conservatism.
This is where Tommy Robinson becomes a liability, because it's all very well where if we're going to have this broad sort of populism and anti-politics, anti-political correctness, that's all well and good. But what I'm worried about is that, just look who's on the stage. And it's weird because I can make a video like I did the other day and I get like loads of comments saying, you don't get it. You don't know what I do. I do get it with Tommy Robinson. And where I want to have a broad populism, but the problem is, he was going to make a video series mentioning kind of like grooming gangs, and he was going to go around the country and name the councillors or whoever it was that was responsible and do a sort of name and shaming tour. And I thought that was fantastic. Go for it. But the problem is I do not want that wrapped up in these nice, pretty Star of David flags, because that's got nothing to do with us. Because I don't want to have this pro-Israeli propaganda sort of wrapped up with problems that we've got in this country, because it's like, yeah, Islam as it's in its entirety is the problem. And if that happens, it's cynical as fuck. Let's see. It hasn't happened yet, but if that happens, if this is, we're going to do grooming gangs for an hour and what's going on with all these English girls, but in reality, it's just because we want to wave some flags and get that Avi, whatever he was called, over from Israel to rile everybody up about how horrible the Palestinians are, then you can get fucked, because they're deliberately using horrible things which is going on in this country just so they can sort of score a few points in the what's going on in the West Bank and all of that. But let's see.
Also, with the like all the Zionist people, like Tommy Robinson, are basically just they're pro mass immigration, except Islam. Like that, the only thing they want to talk about is Islam. Like, oh, like all these other groups, all these like Africans in London, they're absolutely fine. All these like Somalis, they're great. It's just Islam, and it's not even Muslims that's the problem. It's Islam is the problem. That's the only thing they're allowed to talk about. They're basically just liberals, and they're just pushing this one. They're not even helping us on like the court, like the actual real issues. It's just trying to focus on Islam so they can score points in this Israel-Palestine conflict.
And they're also, this has been going on for a long time, because there's been a sort of anti-Zionist element on the left for a long time. And what you end up with is where they kind of fight each other in the streets. So one of the things we've got into is that Tommy's boys are all quite handy in a fight. And so when it comes to a brawl on the streets, they are there to sort of stand up against the left anti-Zionist types. This is actually sort of a bigger schism within sort of globalism, an old one, which I don't really want to get into, but it is a sort of internationalist versus Zionist type, you know, thing with Trotsky and the neocons and all of that. And it kind of plays itself out on the streets of like Manchester outside of Greg's in a punch up between two groups of morons. And I'm sort of small minded shyling, and I think, what the fuck has got any of this Middle Eastern bullshit got to do with us? Just give us our fucking country back, eh? None of any of our business.
It's so tempting to look at Tommy Robinson and the fucking former EDL as globalist brown shirts, but it's just another case of cutting the head off the Hydra. It's like, I personally really don't give a flying fuck what Israel's doing to Palestine.
No,
I'd be like willing to support. Is it like, despite all the horrible things that they're doing to the Palestinians, you'd almost be like willing to sympathize with Israel if they weren't like they're getting all the Africans and so on that go into Israel. They're deporting them to Europe and exactly Canada and right. America, and then they've got all their other like advocates in or their co-ethnics in all Europe and America, like writing articles saying that we need to accept all these immigrants, so that they're not even on our side anyway. So
exactly, it's not a case. I mean, I think we've looked at it so long as, ah, oh, well, the Muslims are always the problem and X, Y, Z. Oh, the Israels, they don't like the Muslims either. They're definitely our friends. No, it's cutting the head off the fucking Hydra. We can deal with semi-porous borders, but then all of a sudden our children are still turning into fucking tranny leftists, and then no one's going to sit there and say, well, why is this? Where's this propaganda coming from?
Yeah, it's and you can tell that it's neocon. A neocon outfit is what the counter-jihad is, always was. It's these Trotskyites who jumped from the left in America because the sort of, and it was a sort of Corbyn momentum moment type one, where the left in America was getting a little bit too sort of pro-Palestinian. I mean, ideologically, that makes sense as well, because the left will always go with the underdog. And that made certain parties nervous, so they all jumped over to with their money to the Republican Party, and that's when in the late 70s you began to see the term Judeo-Christian being stripped into the discourse, and they took it over, and the sort of counter jihad is a spin-off from that. It's Israel first, and the fact that as a sort of an Englishman like me can see that this cynical exploitation of what's going on in this country, mainly because of the same forces they serve. And, well, UK, I don't like it. How far can it go? Can they fuck it up? I don't know. But it is going to totally boil my piss if I see this concert tour of what's been going on with these English girls being groomed, and it's actually just a sort of pro-Israeli shill outfit to whip up to sort of counter what's happening in Corbyn's momentum and on the left. For what I've got, a little YouTube channel and a blog, I will speak out against that. I would not be comfortable with that at all.
Hence why I can't bring myself to get behind Tommy Robinstein. You know, that's the sort of crux of it is, yeah, the enemy of our enemy isn't always our friend.
Yeah. It's you can say, well, is it part of a broader one, or is he going to misdirect it? And that's what we're coming down to. Yeah, that's what we're getting into. Can this be a broad populism to be misdirected by Tommy Robinson? But this, I mean, I, in that regard, I think that Sargon is the better bet here, actually. Not that it's much of a choice.
It's a shit choice. It is a really shit choice.
It's a shit choice. It really is.
This is This is what it comes down to, is do I go for the fucking open Zionist of, you know, that's been bankrolled by fucking Ezra Levant of all people, and
they had that one on the, he was like literally in the Israeli army, and he just pops out. No, this was on the Panorama, and he's prancing around on the stage, you know, like Bruce Springsteen or something, and yeah, let's whip it all up. And you've got these like pasty faced lads from fucking Burnley and Bradford and whatnot, and I think, what the hell is this? But to them, it's like at least somebody is speaking up, and it's these kind of Pied Pipers of Tel Aviv coming in to sort of take them away from genuine nationalism. I totally get it. Yeah,
fucking Katie Hopkins. I love that, Pied Pipers of Tel Aviv. I'm gonna have to use that at some point. I'm gonna steal that off you, but sorry. Yeah. And you've got the fucking likes of Katie Hopkins and all that, and it's just, this is nationalism now. You get to the point where you sit there and you think, this is what we've got now. We've got the choice between full-blown, you know, civic, oh, I don't care if my grandkids are fucking, you know, multicoloured as long as we're liberal. Or you've got, I don't care what my grandkids look like as long as they support Israel. And that's the kind of thing, that's sums up British politics quite well. And I've not seen a party at all, like since the BNP, which has actually turned around and said, nah, this is bullshit. And the minute one springs back, you just know they're going to get fucked into the dirt.
All right, so I'm going to go through some super chats and we can start wrapping up. I think I'm choking for a beer. I either have to have a beer break or wrap it up. Right.
We've been going for a couple of hours, so
Angerhard Celtic, $30 US. Morgoth, I love you, but guns are good. If you ever find yourself surrounded by black people and they decide to get vibrant, the sound of that trigger, I'm gonna have to look what's up ahead here in this sentence, because this is good. All right. The sound of that trigger getting ready to do its job has a profound effect on their manners. Okay. That's do not. Thank you very much for the super chat. There is hate speech laws here, buddy. All right. Thank you very much. Foreign exastris, £2. It's the isms is a tool. Yeah, I know what it means. John Peterson. I thought it was Jordan Peterson there. Jordan Peterson, £9.99. John Peterson. Grow a yew tree in your garden and get the schematics for an English longbow. Buy yourself some chainmail. Hail Morgoth. Why, I'd like to get better at catching you and fish. I'm shit at that. That'll be a start. Super chat, Shrimpy, £10. Thank you very much, Shrimpy. Super chat, Joshua Darach, £20. I'm sorry if I don't know how to pronounce that name. Like. As much as I agree about Tommy Robinson, his rhetoric is our snowplow against political correctness. That is why the establishment fears him, support him, then discard him when he served his purpose. That's pretty much how I'm looking at this whole situation here. If the thing is, you've got to be able to discard them when the time's right. That's the tricky part. And to do that, we need a proper nationalist movement. But if they, you know, they are the snowplows, this is the anti-politics. And it would be nice to see. I mean, I'm sorry for getting into yet another Game of Thrones analogy. But we are in a way sort of doing the Cersei Lannister, where you let your enemies fight each other out and wear each other down. And in the case of the system, it's all about breaking down this political correctness and get people to think and speak freely again, which is the platform that the liberalists are offering us. That's how I see it. And I know they'll not like how cynical I am with this. I got called a thick-skulled fascist by Scott Sargon on Twitter last week. But at the end of the day, that's a weakness in his philosophy, not mine. If you're going to offer a platform, if your core value is to have everybody speak, then great. But don't then complain when people do actually start to speak. Like, because it's based on the assumption that everybody is just a liberal individualist at heart. And I don't believe that's the case. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But we can't even have that discussion until we break the back of the politically correct system that we've got now. So, right. I've totally dominated this stream. What do you two got to say then before we wrap up? Any parting shots?
Well, yeah, that's the thing about Tommy Robinson. You can support him. It sort of shows how, if he were to win, it would show that, like, people see through, like, the establishment trying to destroy him. And even if Sargon wins, it's sticking it to the establishment, and it's making headway. But and then when he starts trying to come out and say things about Israel, just call him a Zionist shill. So,
yep. All right, last one. Mark asked £10. Mark asked £5. Morgoth, please say, live in la vida loca. It will make my day. Live in la vida loca. Oh, Christ, all right. Right, there you go. I'm done. Thanks a lot for all them super chats. That's ridiculous how much. Isn't it a crazy thing the way you can earn money on the internet?
Yeah, I can drop my cam shows now.
It's mental. Thanks. That's like a week's wage or something. Insane. Thank you very much for that, people. And I mean, the thing is, I hope I can deliver. I hope I'm worth it. Anyway, that's it from me. Any parting shots there?
Yeah, I'd just like to say thanks for everyone for all these super chats. Like, Morgoth has been putting in so much work to produce so much more content recently. So if you've appreciated that, then make sure to go on his Patreon and chip in a little bit so he can keep up the good work, because I really want to see this channel become a success, and I think everyone else does as well. So make sure you go and chip some in.
That's very nice of you, Aria. Thank you very much. Jackson?
Yeah, I've got one parting shot, which is...
we've been here before. Let's channel shut down, eh?
No, it's just a case of all of the our Viking friends in the chat would probably do well to remember who the historical enemy of our common enemy is. And it's not fucking them, so, you know.
All right. That's fair enough. Right, I'll see you later, folks. Have a good night. And thanks again for all them super chats. Really appreciate it. Catch you later.